Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Saturday, May 9th. Your last name is probably the oldest thing you own. It has survived centuries, crossed oceans, passed through wars and plagues and famines, and arrived at you. You use it every day without thinking about it. You write it on forms, introduce yourself with it, and define part of your identity through it. But your surname is almost certainly less than 1,000 years old, and the reason it still exists has nothing to do with identity. Surnames were created because governments needed to count people and tax them, and your last name, in its origin, is a medieval tax receipt. For most of human history, people had one name. In a village of 100 people, you didn't need a last name. Everyone knew who John was. If there were two Johns, you'd call one John, the tall one, and the other, John, who lives down by the river. These descriptions were informal and temporary. They changed with the person. They weren't inherited. Your children wouldn't be called the tall one unless they happened to also be tall. This worked for thousands of years, but it stopped working when populations grew, cities formed, and governments became sophisticated enough to want to track who owed them money. In China, surnames date back roughly 4,000 years. According to tradition, Emperor Fuji standardized a naming system around 2000 BC to facilitate consensus taking. Chinese surnames were originally derived matrilineally and were exclusive to nobility and royalty. Over centuries, they became universal and patrilineal. Today, the 100 most common Chinese surnames cover roughly 85% of the population. In Europe, the shift happened much later. Before 1066, most English people used only a first name. Surnames weren't widely adopted until after the Norman conquest, when William the Conqueror's administration needed to catalog property, assess taxes, and administer land across an entire conquered country. The Domesday Book of 1086, one of the most ambitious census projects in medieval history, recorded who owned what land and what they owed. It was much easier to track John Smith of Kent than to track which one of the 17 Johns in Kent owned which field. By 1400, most English people had surnames. Scotland and Wales took longer. Many Welsh and Scottish families didn't adopt fixed hereditary surnames until the 17th century. Henry VIII ordered that births be recorded under the father's surname, which helped standardize the system, but also cemented patrilineal naming as the legal norm. The resistance to surname was real. In the late medieval England, mandatory surnames were associated with taxation, which meant that they were associated with being tracked, counted, and charged by the government. People understood, correctly, that a surname made you visible to the state in a way that a single name did not. Almost every surname in the English-speaking world falls into one of the four categories, and each one tells you something about the life of the ancestor who first carried it. Occupational surnames are the most common. For example, Smith is the most frequent surname in the English-speaking world because every medieval village needed a blacksmith. You had Baker, which is self-explanatory, Cooper, which is a barrel maker, Fletcher, which is an arrow maker, Taylor, yep, you guessed it, a tailor, a carpenter, mason, weaver, and Turner, which is a lathe operator, all describe what someone's ancestor did for a living. If your last name is one of these, you can trace it to a specific craft that a specific person practiced roughly 600 to 900 years ago. The German equivalents are just as transparent. Schmid, which is Smith, Fischer, which is Fisher, Weber, which is a weaver, Schneider. Your surname is a job that outlived the job by centuries. Patronymic surnames identify you by your father. Johnson means the son of John. Richardson means the son of Richard. Wilson, Harrison, Jackson, Peterson, you get the gist. The Scandinavian versions are literal. Anderson, Erickson, Johansson. Irish names use O, grandson of, and Mac or MC, Mick, as son of. So O'Brien means grandson of Brian. MacDonald means son of Donald. Welsh names follow the same pattern. Jones is a contraction of John's son. and is the most common surname in Wales. In Iceland, siblings can have different last names depending on their gender. For example, a woman named Sigrid, whose father is Eric, is Sigrid Eric's daughter, right? And her brother would be Ericsson, or Ericsson, as the son. Location surnames describe where someone lived. Hill, woods, brooks, dale, bridge, ford, marsh, and field are all geographic features. York, Lancaster, London, and Kent are cities and counties. The French des, which means of in English, and German von, which is from, served the same function. De Gaulle, von Bismarck, from Bismarck. If your last name is a landscape feature, your ancestor was the person who lived near that feature in a village where that was a useful distinction. Descriptive surnames capture a physical trait, a personality, or an appearance. Strong, short, young, brown, white, black, swift, and Armstrong all describe something visible about the original bearer. In Scotland, Cameron derives from the Gaelic Cam Shran, meaning crooked nose. Someone looked at your ancestor's nose 1,000 years ago and you're still carrying the description. Some of those were ironic. A man called Short may have been the tallest person in the village. Yes, medieval humor survives in your legal documents. But not everyone chose their surname. In some cases, names were imposed by governments on populations that hadn't used them. In the late 18th century, the Habsburg and Russian empires ordered Jewish subjects to adopt fixed hereditary surnames for the purpose of taxation and military conscription. In 1787, Emperor Joseph II of Austria decreed that all Jewish residents take German language last names. Some families were allowed to choose, and those who could afford to pay the registrars received pleasant names. Goldstein, gold stone, which that means. Rosenthal, which means Rose Valley. Blumenthal, Flower Valley. Those who couldn't pay or who dealt with hostile officials weren't assigned names that range from neutral to deliberately humiliating. The practice was a tool of state control, a way of making a population legible to an administration that wanted to count and conscript them. Enslaved people in America often carried the surnames of their enslavers, and after emancipation, some formerly enslaved people kept those names because they had no other. Some chose new names. Some adopted the names of public figures they admired, which is one reason Washington, Jefferson, and Jackson are disproportionately common among Black Americans. The surname that was meant to mark ownership became, in some families, a record of survival. Immigration added another layer, where millions of Europeans arrived at Ellis Island and other ports of entry in the late 19th century and earliest 20 centuries. Officials often simplified, misspelled, or anglicized surnames that they couldn't pronounce or spell. Consistent spelling was rare even for native English speakers. William Shakespeare's own surname has had more than 80 documented spelling variations in historical records, including Shakespeare, Shagspear, and Shaxbird. If your family name seems oddly spelled, it may be because a clerk at a port of entry heard it once, wrote down their best guess, and that guess became permanent. Today, roughly 300,000 distinct surnames are in use in the United States. The most common, Smith, is held by about 2.4 million Americans. In China, Wang, Li, and Zhang together cover more than 250 million people. Your name carries more history than you think. And most of that history was written not by your family, but by the governments, empires, and clerical errors that shaped the world your ancestors moved through. So if this comes up in conversation, here's how to think about it. Surnames are less than 1,000 years old in most of the Western world. They were adopted primarily so that governments could count people and tax them. Almost every English surname falls into four categories: occupation, which are Smith, Baker, Taylor; parentage, Johnson, O'Brien, MacDonald; location, Hill, Woods, York; or description, Short, Brown, Armstrong. Not everyone chose their name, though. Jewish families in the Habsburg Empire were assigned surnames by officials. Enslaved Americans carried their enslavers' names. Immigrants had their names simplified or misspelled at ports of entry. Shakespeare's own name has had over 80 spelling variations. So your last name is a fossil from a world that no longer exists, carrying information about a medieval ancestor's job, location, father, or face. You use it every day, and you probably never asked where it came from. So now you know. As always, stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.